Every time we gather around the Lord's table, we're reminded as to what it's about. And it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have in our hand the unleavened bread, which represents his body, but also the cup, which represents his blood. And we know that put in man's hands, man's always going to pervert it or make it into something else. And that's what I love about the scriptures. When we come back to the scriptures, the simplicity of what we're about here, the simplicity of the Lord's table. They had made the Lord's Supper into a feast where people were coming and bringing food and everybody tasting the food of ones they wanted and leaving the crumbs for the ones that got there late, which happened to be servants who were cleaning up at home. Because the masters got there early and the rest, they had to clean up by the time they got there. It says that they'd already been eaten and others were drunken. That's where Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 11, what have ye not houses to eat and drink in, despise ye the church of God? What this is about is despising those who are members of Christ's church. The church of God is not a building, but it's those that Christ has redeemed, and to look on one another, despising one another, and thinking one better than another is contrary to who Christ is. And that's why Paul said, to their shame. But he used it to get us back to the fundamentals of what this is about. Because everybody has their views about the Lord's table, Lord's Supper, and they're dividing over it. This is the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. Paul said in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. I love that. I want to get back to the original. I'll need a copy. You know, if you see a flaw, copy, then you go back to the original. How's the original look here? So he said, I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. There's the simplicity of it. What was it? There was that Old Testament Passover feast going on, but now he instituted what we know as the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. So the only reason we're partaking right now is because of what Christ has done. Him leaving this as a picture and an emblem of his person, his work. We didn't come up with this. What we're doing right now, it's as the Lord said, delivered. And when given thanks, think about the Lord when he instituted his supper, he was ready to go to the cross, and yet it was with thankfulness. Who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross in spite of the shame. I dare say, if any one of us knew that tonight was going to be our last night, we're going to die, and we knew it, some would find that as an excuse not even to worship. They'd be like, oh, I got my problems. Why? Christ laid down his life. That word literally is the word pillowed. He was so submitted to the will of his Father, and all that it meant, that even in death, he pillowed his head, laid down his life, and died. Why? To save such wretched sinners as we are. That's why he says, take, eat. This isn't for everybody, but it is for those for whom he paid the debt. This is my body, which is broken for you. We know that there wasn't any bone of his body that was broken, but broken in the sense of crushed. That's what that word is. It's where it says there in Isaiah, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It's a picture of a seed that's sown in the ground and dies. When it rises up into a beautiful plant, then it's cut down, harvested. And how do we get bread? But what it passes through the mill, that's the crushing, and then put in the fire, and then served. That's the bread. When I look at this unleavened bread, I see marks of flame on it. I love that because it was roast with fire. Unleavened, no sin in it. What a beautiful representation of Christ's body, which is broken for you. But he says, this do in remembrance of me. That's what the Lord's table is about. It's not a Baptist table. It's not a Presbyterian table. It's not a this or that. It's the Lord's table, and those who are the Lord's partake in it with joy. This do, it's not an option, this do in remembrance of me. If Christ has shed his blood on our behalf, he took on flesh on our behalf, there's no reason not to partake. This do in remembrance, but it's about him. You can take this bread and put it on the lips of a dead man, and that man's dead still. This doesn't help anybody. But I'll tell you, as we partake, it's in remembrance of him, of Christ. That's where our minds should be at this particular time. And then he says in verse 25, after the same manner, one is not above the other in importance. You got the bread, but you have the cup. The manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. It's new in that it's put away the old. No more in types, pictures, and prophets. All the sacrifices, the old are done away. Can you imagine if we came to worship today and still had to have a priest and here bring your sacrifice? They hear the bleeding of the lambs. They have to put them out there in the back and have somebody up here still slitting their throat, and offering it up for us to worship. All that's been done away. Representing this one cup, which is a picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he calls the New Testament, in my blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There'd be no hope for any of us. But there again, this do ye, and notice the words, as oft as ye drink it. Here again, men try to make rules and regulations. I've been through the gauntlet with people that write me, do you celebrate the Lord's table every single time you meet? And if you say no, they're all over you. Well, then you've got a false church. We happen to do it at the last time of worship every month, but it's just because that's how the Lord's purposed us to do it. We could do it every week. There's nothing that says no, but this is how we do it. But I love it because it's as the Lord directs, as often as ye drink it. There's no rule or regulation given, but as oft as ye do it and drink it, it's always in remembrance of him. If this ever becomes a formality, if this ever becomes just something we go through the motions, and we run after because we think somehow there's grace in the bread or grace in the cup, then we're sadly deluded. It's always in remembrance of him. So as we drink this cup, it's in remembrance of him who shed his blood. He says in verse 26, as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show. That word show means actually preach. When you're holding this in your hand right now, you're preaching. You're declaring. What are you declaring? Well, the Lord's death till he come. There's a beautiful picture too. He's coming again to receive unto himself everyone for whom he paid the debt. But until he come, we continue. We do show forth the Lord's death till he come. I truly believe he's coming in our lifetime. Not necessarily at the end of the world, in the clouds of glory. It's just that if we live long enough, we're going to die. And that, he's coming. Precious in the sight of the Lord to the death of his saints. So until then, we continue to remember him. And what a beautiful way the Lord has given us to remember him till he come. So verse 27 says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. Here's where a lot of people get scared. They look inward and they think, am I worthy? None of us is worthy. But to eat and drink it unworthily is to think that somehow you are worthy. I remember back in the day before the Lord ever taught me of himself, as kids, you know, we been baptized, and now somehow we are qualified to partake of the Lord's table. You always look over at the other kids that couldn't and wouldn't, you know, and think we're somewhat better. That's how kids reason. Now, there's no looking around. There's none of us better than the other. To eat and drink unworthily, in other words, without seeing the worthiness of Christ in this, it says, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. It means that you're flying in the face of the exact reason why Christ died. Not that one be above the other, but that all together as sinners, we enjoy, just like one bread and one cup, we enjoy one peace, one pardon, one justification, one sanctification before God, and that's Christ. And it says here, so let a man examine himself. And I love this part. So let him eat of that bread. So many tell you, you better examine yourself and not eat. But the Lord here is saying, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. What are we examining? Whether we're the Lord's or not. Whether he is all or not. Whether his blood is our only hope or not. Our only salvation. If so, then eat. Drink of that cup. Verse 29, but he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, in other words, making this just to be a formality, or thinking ourselves better because we're partaking, it says, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. To discern the Lord's body is to look around to see all of us as sinners, but saved by grace. That's it. Not one of us above the other. And that's to his honor and glory. Let's thank the Lord for this, and then we'll partake. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the bread and the cup that you have given to us as elements to remember Christ and his death. He alone is worthy. So as we partake, I pray that you would indeed turn our hearts to him and to remember who he is, a body being prepared, but sinless. Exactly what you required for salvation of sinners such as we are. And his shed blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So as we partake, may we do so looking to Christ alone, whose name I pray. Amen.